Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL podcast. Round 19 all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Brenton, you got a highlight of the weekend past, or week past?
Well, just a bit of entertainment from the Formula One round weekend, but on track, obviously, Lewis won again, and yeah, won fair and square this time. It was a pretty boring race, but I love off track. Toro Rosso have got a designer, their chief designer, he's a pretty talented fella, and they're hoping that he'd move up to Red Bull and replace their designer once he retires. McLaren have come in and decided they're going to try and swoop on him and off, you know, try to get into talks to get his services from next year onwards. And turns out they jumped the gun a little bit, maybe took a page out of Donald Trump's book, announced him early, tweeted out that it was confirmed while they're still in negotiations. So Red Bull have gone, well, actually, he's contracted with 2020, so you can have him after that. So they've hired a new staff member and effectively forced him to sit on the bench for a year and a half before they can actually employ him.
Gardening leave.
Yeah, this is from the same team that also, to reward their mechanics for doing a great job working 24/7 on a car, 7 days a week. That's part of 24/7, yeah. Gave him a Fredo Frog. That was their reward, Fredo Frogs.
Lovely.
Yeah, that's a way to increase the morale.
Like the strawberry one or just the regular?
Probably just chocolate, you know what I mean? Because you can't mix and match when you buy the bag, so, you know, got
to
save money.
I feel like you should be able to. I feel like Fredo Frogs have missed a trick there.
I mean, you can. It's called stealing.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, as the only one with kids that are old enough to eat Fredo. Oh, no, obviously yours are. Yeah, they do sell mix and match bags, but anyway. Besides the fucking point.
Yeah.
Do they mix them with caramel koalas as well?
Yeah, usually. Yeah, especially in the fundraiser packs.
I only found out the other day that Birdie Beetles are off-cut Violet Crumbles.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually did not know that.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
I've never seen them anywhere except for the show.
Yeah, well, that's the only place they're produced
pretty,
now.
I'm pretty sure that somebody back in the early 80s accidentally put an extra zero on the production line for Birdie Beetles. That's why they don't actually make them anymore, but they are sitting in a warehouse.
Yeah.
And they just one truckload every show. Yeah, that's it.
Pretty much. I don't know how I came across it, but yeah, they only make them for the shows and the show bags now. But yeah, they're the offcuts of...
To be fair, there'd be a fair margin on them, because if you only sell them at the show, well, a show bag's about $50 for about $3 worth of chocolate.
Yeah.
I haven't been to the show since I was 17.
No. I'm a risk taker, but the show's just too much risk to take for me.
I've got two kidneys. I want to keep it that way.
Do
you remember going back to Broken Hill? There was once where apparently the show is heavily unionized. There's a big show union. Once the Broken Hill show went off union.
Yeah.
So anybody that had union ties, obviously, was not going. So they had three rides for the entire show. It was great.
I do remember that year, actually.
Anyway, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past.
Yeah, I think, was it Sun Tzu that said all war is based on deception?
Sure.
Let's go with that. I think you can go a bit too far sometimes. I was reading a nice little article on the Cairo Zoo. Now, I don't really know much about the Cairo Zoo.
Yeah, just refresh me on that one.
Yeah, well, I do know.
It's a zoo in Cairo.
I do know there's a difference, though.
I thought it was like a ancient Chinese gen or something. Cairo Zoo.
We started with Sun Tzu. Now, it's literally a zoo, a place where you go to see animals.
Right. I'm leading into this. But I'm not a zoologist by any means, but I can tell a donkey.
All I'm saying is you can tell that you're a Benny Brown fan because the run-up's there.
The delivery might go shorter, so there we go. But I can tell a donkey from a zebra, yeah?
Oh, I'm going to say, unless you paint as donkey.
I've never seen them side by side, but I reckon I could.
And I reckon if you saw a donkey that had been painted, you'd probably feel like maybe you're being ripped off. But this is what's happened in the Cairo Zoo. They've got a white donkey, painted some black stripes on him and gone, there you fucking go. Now, look, again, no zoologist. I'm just going to assume that Cairo Zoo's going broke because they're pretty close. Well, they're on continental Africa.
Yep.
So I imagine all they have to do is sort of open the gates for a bit and wait until a zebra wanders on by and then close them. So to get a donkey and paint it, they must be going broke. Which means that at some stage, whoever the head zookeeper is has gone to his mate Muhammad. Is it racist to say Muhammad? I don't know. I'm just assuming.
No.
He's got, you know, Muhammad, I need you to paint this donkey.
Let's make it less. Let's say Jafar.
Jafar.
Muhammad Jafar.
Aladdin. Oh, thank you, Mr. Aladdin.
Yeah, I've got Aladdin. Yep. It's Jafar. The next one's going to be Genie. So.
Jasmine. But it's somehow like, just imagine that's your day. You've turned up to work and, you know, he's like, Jafar, I need you to paint this donkey with stripes.
Yeah,
like,
I like
what would your response
I like
be?
It another way, where they've had a crisis meeting, like, guys, we're fucked up. Like, everything's dying. We've got no fucking animals. And someone's gone, I can paint a donkey. And they've gone, well, you know what? We're fucking desperate. Let's fucking give it a go, Chip.
I think the other option was, I've got this suit. I'll be the back, you be the front. It's like, I think we'll go with Jafar's idea.
Plan A, but we're not putting Plan B off yet.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe,
keep it handy.
Maybe it was just a mix-up or something. He actually wanted a portrait of the donkey.
Paint the donkey.
All right, you asked. I mean, the good news is, there's a greyhound, and I can see a bright future for the Tasmanian tiger.
Who's that? Oh, you paint the donkey in black and white. Must want a zebra. Fuck it.
I got to say, I just want to see when they glue six donkeys together and call it an elephant. And, hey, where's the trunk coming from?
But just put yourself in that shoe. Like, you've turned up to work, and it's like, Muhammad, Jafar, sorry, you look a lot like Muhammad, I don't want to be a racist.
Jafar, can you call Muhammad in?
I'm calling the union is what I'm doing, this is fucking racist.
Jafar, can you please paint this donkey? I don't have any anesthetic or anything because we're fucking broke. Here's a paintbrush, go for it. Like, what would you say?
Yes, boss. So I need a fucking job.
But you'd have to be thinking, this is not how I expected my day to turn out.
Well, I mean, half the workers come from Africa anyway, aren't they? They're held there against their will. Probably. So,
well, maybe, like,
maybe they're the only one that knew.
I saw the photos of this shit, and I reckon they can't have come from Africa. If they've seen a zebra in real life, or even in a photo, they'd have to know that throwing some stripes around the joint, occasionally a bit of a curlic thing, so they've added a bit of tribal tattoo.
A bit of Dali to it.
So this is a bit of a slut zebra. It's got a tramp stamp. I reckon they've probably gone off script.
Let's be honest. That donkey could have been a slut unbeknownst to itself. It could have been passed around a while.
Well, maybe that's it. They're kind of a little bit dry, so to speak, and they've still got that pantomime suit, and they're like, all right, add a tramp stamp to the donkey, lads. It's looking pretty good now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's get on it.
I think it gave it away when, you know, they usually have don't touch the animals, where it said don't touch the animals, wet paint. Gave it away a bit. My highlight of the week was AFL related. I love all the talk that's going on about the rule changes.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, you know, we might trial them during dead rubbers. And there's been feedback quite strongly on both sides. I just think they're not going far enough. I think they need to introduce rule changes post-haste. And
yep.
Don't tell the players.
Well, like, this is called the MRP, isn't it?
I feel like this has happened already.
Don't tell the players and spin a wheel. There's fan engagement. Okay, we got zones this quarter. You know, and do it every game. Do it in the grand final. You know, mix it up. Change the ball. Make it round for one quarter.
Well, like Formula E, you could have fan boost, except they'd have half of Etihad Stadium is fans, and then whoever gets on the app and tweets in, that's who gets the 5-goal breeze.
Yeah, or just take it a step further, we're going to have real-life esports, just Rocket League at halftime. Remote-controlled cars, a big ball.
Why remote-controlled? It would be, if your team has a car sponsor, you must drive that car. So I'd there love to see the Mazda CX-9 versus the Jeep. And they can do the boundary races, but get a fucking car out there to do it.
And that means,
and
you
just
know...
Put a you don't need a soccer ball, because they do the other... the big inflatables that they have the people running in.
Oh, yeah.
Have that in the middle, car at each end, away you go.
And the ump's in the middle of the ball.
I put whoever you like in the middle of the ball. I don't care.
Ladbroke's going to have a field day with this.
Yep.
Yeah, this sounds a lot like Hogan's Heroes all over again.
Yeah.
I like to see, you know, the Holdens of Collingwood versus the Audis of Hawthorn. That'd be a good one. Kia's have got Essendon up against the Renault of Port Adelaide.
Didn't Essendon drop Kia?
Oh, I don't fucking know, but
I'm
pretty
sure they did.
But anyway, I think there needs to be more of it. More experimenting. Just don't even tell the players. Let them figure it out for themselves.
It's a bit like gladiator rules where you just come out and then you got to figure it out.
Figure it out. Anyway.
Takeshi's Castle style.
All right, so let's have a look at the results from round 19. We started off on Friday night, I'm going to say, with one of the biggest knee-jerk reaction feedback in this one, because everyone's written off the Swans. They're cooked. They're done. We talked about the state of the media last week. I mean, come on, settle down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great win by Essendon.
I am concerned in that we started this to be dickheads, and we're the voice of reason at the moment. How?
We've been out dickhead.
Well, even the Onion's done now because it can't compete with reality.
Yeah.
Maybe we've been onioned.
The Batuta Advocate is kind of like, I guess we're serious journos now.
Well, I mean, they've got the same standards. They just didn't know it.
Yeah.
For Essendon, I did like the game that Hurley had. Now, Buddy kicked a couple, but they're in a short burst, and one of them, I reckon, was a free kick.
Yeah.
But the reception that Hurley got from his own fans every time he won a one-on-one was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, he's absolute quality.
Yeah, he had a great game.
Well, he's been one of the best players that sort of has held them together for a while. I mean, people point to Goddard, but I think Hurley's probably... Well,
Hurley was getting dropped earlier on in the year.
Yeah.
And I think he actually pulled up Paul Roos, who said that Hurley couldn't mind a baby in a pram or something like that at the start of the year.
Yeah.
He gave Buddy better than he's got for this year.
And Devin Smith, how long was he injured for when he came out of GWS? Was he injured when they picked him up from GWS?
No, I think he was just in poor form, like the rest of the team.
Right. I thought he's pulled up his work rate a fair bit, kicked a couple of goals, probably should have one more.
Yeah, he's had goal of the year and... nomination and a mark of the year nomination, and he's going for great guns.
Yeah, it's just too bad his goal of the year got succeed.
We'll get to that. Yep. It's done there.
Poor bastard.
Making friends and influencing people. Zach Jones had a great game, hadn't he? It's given old Zach Merritt a little tap on the chin. Well, the 1-2 on the chin to start with, and
literally to start with.
Yeah, to start with before the first bounce.
Yeah, before the bounce.
Got a little fine, which I thought was fair enough, to be honest, because he didn't really hit him that hard. And Zach Merritt, played it up, but he did get hit in the face.
Yeah.
And then the big bump later on.
Doubled down on it, yep.
I think it was on Langford, I'm not sure, where he gets a week or two for that, so that's fair enough.
Yeah, we're doing this on Monday, so we don't know the results of any tribunal activities yet, do
we? No, he's not appealing it. He's accepted the 2 weeks.
Yeah, that was fair enough. The bump, I mean, I can see why he'd bump in that situation. It's just obviously the wrong... Hang on,
No, it was very wrong.
Yeah, was that the right one? He knocked out...
I think you're thinking of Young D, who went to hospital.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That wasn't a bump. That was in a marking contest.
We really are like the mainstream media.
Pretty much. Yeah. Good call.
Good call, Lingy.
Thanks, Lingy. Say that again. Orazio is back to form as well. And the Essendon forward line looks so much more dangerous with him out there.
So who are they competing for these bottom spots of the top eight? Who have they got?
It's an absolute logjam.
North, Hawthorn, and Essendon are the main ones. And Geelong. But they could be anywhere.
Oh, and GWS are in there, but they've got a draw. So they've got a little advantage there.
Adelaide's still two games out, so that makes it difficult for
them. Two games and percentage.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of big percentages in the eight this year.
So it's pretty much six down to 11 that are going to be fighting for spots.
Well, that's it. I mean, in this game, the Swans started the round in fourth and ended up in ninth. That's a fairly big drop for this late in the season, but that's how tight it is at those last couple of spots in the eight.
Yeah, if they win by enough next week, they could bump up to fourth, I think. But
go back to where they were.
Yeah, it's freaky.
It's good. It's good. It gives a lot of interest in the final four games.
Yeah.
Essendon have really turned themselves around. They were a bastard case at the start of the year. And now, this is the team that lost to Carlton.
It was a great shutout by Sydney, though, I thought.
Shutout?
Yeah, with BT.
Oh, I like that. Was that Sydney, was it? I thought that was Essendon. Sorry.
That was Sydney again.
Good.
So, I don't mind roaming BT for an idea. But I think
find it fucking annoying.
When it's used all the time, it gets a bit iffy. But when you think of all the different things that commentators do, it's not the worst. It's not the best.
But I'll agree with that. That's a fucking low bar.
Let's try to think of the best, because there's not a whole lot of it.
No.
Maybe I should stop that and just focus on what is the best thing we can do.
Yeah, just not focus on the game.
Let the game be itself and then augment it rather than trying to supersede it.
Well, that's 2 weeks in a row that BT's been knocked back, because Toby Nankervis gave him the stink eye last week.
He did too.
Did not want to talk to him at all. Which leads us on to the absolute blockbuster that was Richmond and Collingwood. Great to see a lineup out the MCC at 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I love seeing miserable members. It's a fucking day, to be honest. There'd be one of those times where you're tempted to go down there and pelt them with a few water bottles because you know they're not going to get out of line. Yeah,
fuck them. Come over here, you Chardonnay sniffing cunts.
So I do wonder about that sometimes. Like joining
call
the
it
MCC,
micro-terrorism.
You've got a 30-year wait or whatever it is, and then you've got to wait even longer to get in the match.
I reckon it's not worth it. Not
then you're going to watch the game with those old cunts. Like, fuck exactly. That.
I mean, if you want to watch the cricket, yeah. But who the fuck joins the MCC to watch cricket?
And who wants to be amongst the members? You get amongst the crowd. That's where it's at. Maybe I'm traditional. Yeah.
You say that, but I've got no problem sitting in the crowd with my headphones in, not talking to no fucker.
This is true, but it's only if I'm impartial.
Yeah,
but you don't drink. The MCC is heavy. That's about the only benefit, as far as I can see.
Yeah, that's a fair call.
Although you can't drink in your seat, I don't think.
Can't drink in... Whose seat you got to sit in?
Random person. They play that musical chairs sort of game.
So you got to imagine some kind of standing up getting hammered. That can't be fun.
Tigers by 28 points, but I don't think that tells the story of this game.
No.
How impressive were Collingwood?
They were impressive and unimpressive at the same time. Like, it's amazing how much they could hold it together with the debilitating team, but then players like Steelbottom, Sidebottom can get a shit ton of possessions and waste pretty much all of them.
They were unimpressive,
and yet they still hung around because the other kids came through.
Well, there was a stage there, because we were watching this one together, where Sidebottom had 20-odd touches, and I even said to you, like, 2 minutes earlier than they announced that he had 20-odd touches, geez, he's been quiet today.
Yeah.
He did not notice it, because every time he touched the ball, he had three blokes bloody tackling him.
Yeah.
Is that the true measure of Ablett-esque? When they get all those touches, you don't even notice them?
No, it was because they were all under pressure touches. Yeah. It wasn't like he was having a bad game. He was getting the ball. He's just bloody two blokes on his hammer every time he did.
Yeah, and they worked hard to get back into the game in that second quarter and put it on their terms, which they did. They always had first use of it out of the middle, obviously with a bit of a ruck advantage. And just, I don't know, it seemed like they had the best of stoppages. But, just fell down with numbers peeing on the bench, actually.
Scharenberg did his ACL
again. Yeah, that's no good.
With the ruck advantage, how good was Grundy?
Oh, he was fantastic,
23 posies, but, you know, most of them in handballs, but you expect that. But to throw in 10 tackles as well, along with dominating hitouts, fuck, he's having a blinder.
Yeah, a lot of times they had more space than what they probably anticipated, just with...
a little bit, yeah.
With Pendlebury having a good game as well. Also, Hoskins-Elliott did his hamstring and everything else in the Bs.
No,
Elliott.
Not Hoskin Elliott.
Right.
Hoskin Elliott played this game and played an absolute blinder again. He's having a great season. But yeah, Jamie Elliott tore his hamstring. I think he was only two games back from doing it again. So you got him doing his hammy. You got Scharenberg tearing his knee apart again. He was also having a good year. And Jeremy Howe copping a knee to the scone like I haven't seen in the UFC for years.
Yeah, that's a beautiful flying knee.
Poor old Darcy Moore. Purely accidental, but for them to lose two players, two key backmen during the game, and still be within striking distance at three-quarter time really says a lot about Collingwood. I was amazed.
Yeah, and they just didn't sort of give up, if that makes sense. Like, even the back line, when they're getting hammered for a fair while, Darcy Moore, I thought, had made some mistakes, but I thought he played good, presented himself well, and put himself in positions where he was going to be effective.
Yep.
Sometimes doesn't fall his way, but, you know, he's still only pretty young, so... Yeah, I thought he was very impressive.
Up for contract again this year too, so good moves.
Well, they smashed them in possession too, because look at the top six possession getters, all Collingwood.
Yeah.
Like, considerably. The top for Richmond was Edwards with 22 and Ellis with the same. But Sidebottom, 38, Pendlebury, 37, Phillips, 33. Adams is having career-best form at the moment.
Yeah.
How good is he going? But they've had so many young players step up, and that's brilliant for their future, but unfortunately they've proven to be fragile.
I'm going
to
say, they're just falling like flies.
Well,
if it was anybody else, it'd be a shame.
Yep.
Kind of. Mason Cox was dangerous up forward too.
Kicked
a couple of nice goals.
I feel like they had a very good rotation through their ruck with forcing Richmond to have to cover tall men across the ground. So it sort of forces your hands where, you know, who are you going to put him on? I thought Asprey did well playing a bit more forward and Grimes having that big chase down the wing.
Oh, geez, Grimes. I didn't know he had that pace on him.
Neither did I. No, but he's pretty aerodynamic, that fella. Too much to him.
Caught Stevens, it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Who looked like he was going to get away.
Yeah. Also, Short kicking the long goals.
Oh, two in a row. Yeah.
How did he not pick him up?
Like, really?
That's weird.
I'm pretty sure it was, I can't remember who it was, running from, it might have been Howe, running from centre-half back, trying to chase him down just to get on the man. And yeah, no, too late. Too just late. Handled, yeah. Handballed off again.
But the second one, though, you can see, I can't remember who handballed it to him.
I think it was the first gamer. Yeah. The fellow with the mullet.
Baker.
He
was sitting there having a chat to him. He goes, mate, I'm going to handball this to you. He goes, yeah, I'll have a shot. Once you handball it to me. All right. You going to kick it now or do you want to do it later? No, let's do it now. All right. Here you go.
I thought rock, paper, scissoring for it was a bit sneaky.
Yeah, it was just dumb. It was just absolutely dumb. Almost as dumb as it happened on Friday night as well, where Ollie Florent went, oh, somebody guard him. I'm going to go off. I'm like, mate, no, you guard him. You go off later. Anyway. I thought also with Dusty Martin, his kicking was a little bit off. But the good thing is, when he is a little bit off, you know, just send him forward, kick to him in a one-on-one.
Yeah.
What did he end up with? Four.
I think he got three. Yeah, but
3-1.
He was had the best of around the ball for a long time, getting put off his game. So it's good that they can always find a way to be effective, and also that other people can fill in those roles as well.
If you're having a quiet game and you're kicking three goals, you've done it right.
Yeah. And even Baker, I thought, was a good first game. He didn't look intimidated. It looked like he had a lot of fun out there.
And we're not even going to bother arguing about Higgins' goal, because it's a fucking goal all day, every day.
Besides that, though, 14 contested possessions for him. And then to do that, it's just... That is one of those things where it's almost better to be stupid, to think, fuck it, I'll give this a go.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't even think he thought about it. I think it was just pure instinct. He's gone,
I'm going to keep this in. Well, I'm going to kick it now.
Fuck it, it might work.
Yep. I got no problem with it, and I don't want to talk to anybody that thinks it's not a goal.
I think, though, AFL is unique in that we have that, yeah, but it looks cool rule.
Yeah.
So, yep, hands are in the back, but Gary Ablett's taken a screamer, and that looks pretty fucking awesome, so that's a mark.
Well, Ablett wasn't in the back. He didn't hold his. Kappa was in the back whenever he did his. But
Jezelenko was in the back for his famous one too. But
God, no, he wasn't. No.
Nah, I'm running with that.
It was all leap. But it's, fuck it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the rule. All right, we'll move on to the Geelong Cats versus the Brisbane Lions. The Lions took it up to them for a little bit, but I'll tell you what has come out of Geelong recently is Benny Brown's not a lock for All Australian full forward anymore. Big Tomahawk, back-to-back sevens.
That is pretty big effort from the Hawk, but I mean, with Brisbane, who's really going to be on him?
Well, Harris Andrews is having his first game back.
Yeah.
Walker's been good for him as well, but like I said, 2 weeks in a row for the big Tomahawk, this is almost career best form for him.
With the delivery he's getting, though, he should be getting at least four. Because you look at if you're a full forward and you've got choice between Selwood, Dangerfield, and Ablett kicking to you, you could choose which hand you want to land on.
He should, but goddamn, he's given them off too, and his field kicking has improved unbelievable this year.
To be fair, last year he would have probably kicked 3-5, but he's managed to slot 7-1.
So that's...
Actually, it would have been 3-2 with a couple out and fulls.
14-1 the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a good effort.
It's not bad at all.
He's catching up too. I think he's only about 7 behind, so...
Yeah. Well, it's 1 week for him, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
And Ablett, what do you have, 35? Was that what you know, 38?
Yeah, 38
posies. Just a lazy little effort. Actually, 5 tackles too, was impressive.
I think that might be career high.
Yeah. Started to throw the arm around a few people.
Yeah, good on him. Sometimes, you know, it can get cold down there.
Yep, and Zach Tui backs up a winning game with another solid effort. So they're starting to get some returns out of their sort of top-up players, I felt, with Geelong. Not that they really needed too many top-up, but it's good to see them firing.
Yeah, and Parfitt had a good game.
Yeah.
I think as good as it's been to see some Lions emerge too, Beam's still a lock for their best and fairest. He's unbelievable when he's on.
Yeah,
he's had a good year without a doubt.
I do hope he stays down there just for their sake.
Up there,
up there, whatever.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's going anywhere. He moved up there, you know, from Collingwood, so he's quite settled. I know he moved up there for his old man who's now passed away, but I think he's very settled.
Yeah,
I can't see him leaving.
Well, there'll be numbers in front of him whenever he wants them to be.
Yeah, if he wanted to. But
I do hope he stays, just because he's a franchise player.
Now is not the time to leave Brisbane.
No, looking good.
If you've been there through the, you know, back to back wooden spoons.
Yeah.
Now that they're on the up, you might hang around for a little bit longer.
So I think all the credit has to go to Luke Hodge, doesn't it? The turnaround. He's the on-field captain, on-field coach.
Sorry. On-field coach plus the off-field coach has done a right too. Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah, I feel like the Hawks can take a bit of glory in this one.
He might have to retire quicker than planned, because if he's trying to get back to Clarkson to join his coaching thing, Mitchell's beat him up there already. So,
what do you mean retire quicker than planned? He's already retired once. Whatever he retires is not quicker than planned.
We might have to do it before the end of the season, is what I'm saying, if he wants to try and get back on Clarkson's board, because Mitchell's gone home.
Well, it's very funny with Mitchell, because they haven't said why, but I was listening to the radio and somebody let it slip. Might have been Dean Cox, actually.
Right.
His missus doesn't like it over there.
All right.
He's done the right thing and come back. And Clarko sent him a text and said, "Oh, Sammy, are you coming back for coaching?" He goes, "Not now.
Right.
Not now, champ. let me just finish the year off, then we can talk."
He would have been on, what, maybe 300 a year?
As a coach?
Let's make it up.
I've got no idea what assistant coaches get. Yeah, let's say it is.
If I'm pulling 300 a year, I could be on the fucking moon and my wife would be happy. It's like, yes, I'm working in on Mars, sweetheart. You're pulling in 300K? I don't give a fuck. I don't care if you're fucking penguins in the South Pole. Just bring that cash home. I'll figure out a way to work with it.
Stay there.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think that, you know, just being on the moon, I think your wife would be happy regardless of money.
Full stop.
Moon and nothing on the moon. Job done.
Fuck off.
Well, I feel like if Mitchell and Hodges do come back to Victoria, this could really queue up the next season of the recruit. Instead of having it for like, get it on a team, get onto the Hawks coaching list.
Coaching list. Yeah, it could be interesting.
This is 40.
Yeah, the problem is you'll have other head coaches applying.
Yeah, that's what we want to see. We want to see
Ross Lyons
come in there.
Okay, boys, just here.
It's like Loss Strap Ryans. Yourself in.
Strap yourself in. Okay, today we're doing attack. See you later, boys. Yep. Done.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Oh, shit, I thought it was The Bachelor.
Giants won.
Yep. I feel like the Saints, you don't want to win at this point, really, do you? For the Saints, do you really
want to
show
something. They need to show.
But you don't want to do yourself a disservice by...
They weren't out of it entirely, but I never felt the Giants were worried. They just kind of went, all right, you boys have blown your wad.
I don't feel like the Giants have ever been worried, ever.
No.
Like, any time in their careers.
No. They've done well in the last 5 weeks when Jeremy Cameron's been suspended. They've started to put some good footy together and notch a few.
Kick more goals and points has been the big turnaround, so that's concerning.
I don't know. Do you blame Jeremy Cameron then?
Oh, why not?
Why not?
Everyone needs a scapegoat.
North
throw him an offer.
They're still going to be dangerous when it comes final time.
You just have to be hoping when you're GRS that you're no longer a proving ground for other teams' recruits.
Well, they've held on to a lot of good ones.
Yeah. But they've had so many to begin with. Expat team would probably rival Carlton's expat team at the moment.
I'll take Carlton's.
Yeah.
I'll take Carlton's.
Whoa, go close.
Well, I mean, who are the Giants expats, though? You've got Hoskin Elliott.
Yeah.
He's done all right. Devin Smith's done all right.
Yep. You've got
Taylor Adams.
Adam
Treloar.
Yeah, Treloar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're scraping the barrel.
Jonathan Giles.
See what I mean? But when you go to Carlton, you've got
Betts,
Kennedy,
Wade,
Jacobs. Yeah, Grigg. Premiership Ruckman. Strong Grigg. I'll still take them. Not much more to say about this game. Suns and Carlton. Oh, my God. What the fuck happened? It turned into a report fest, and Carlton strung together... God knows how many goals in a row. 7 or something.
Crazy. Crazy times. I mean, when you're kicking 5 goals, 14, you can't expect to win shit, really.
The Suns come off the greatest win of their existence last week. This might be the worst loss of their existence.
Well, I think
there's a few there.
Yeah, but out of expectation.
I mean, it could be the worst first half of footy I've seen in a while, except for the next game, which is Bulldogs and whenever that game's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up much later.
Well, they took a while to recover from Mad Monday.
Yeah, I'm going to say, they did have Mad Monday after round 18, so maybe that's a bit of an excuse for it.
Ah, fuck it. Enjoy your wins. If it costs you the next game, so be it. You're not going to win the flag, but enjoy those career-defining wins and get hungover for a
while. You also both teams put it all on the line, because Stevie May's been rubbed out, Charlie Curnow's been rubbed out, so he's quite emotional in this game too, Stevie May. I think he was offended.
Well, he was offended they didn't offer him a job.
Yeah, I feel like
whether he would have gone or not, he still wanted to see some numbers in front of him. Jeez.
That must be a real sensitive person.
He could be. He has a soft side that we haven't seen before. On to one of the better games of the round as well in Adelaide Crows and Melbourne. You've got to say, Melbourne had this in the bag at three-quarter time, and then obviously Adelaide come flying back once the rain started. I did like after the game, they interviewed one of the players. I said, did memories of last week come to your mind? The player's gone, we just keep playing. fucking bullshit. You all saw it. You all thought it. If not for an errant Eddie Betts kick, we were robbed of an absolute cracker of the last 30 seconds.
Yeah. And you almost expect Melbourne to really put the foot in the throat in the last quarter. Usually Adelaide aren't that great of a coming back like that.
Yeah.
I think it demoralised pretty easy. But yeah, I thought it was a big turning point for the Crows to band together. Obviously still a few injuries and still people was trying to get some form. But yeah, it's still disappointing to see them. I mean, it's not disappointing for me to see them lose like that. But
disappointing for them.
Yeah, for them to be able to lose a game like that when you come back, fought so hard in the last quarter.
I just find it so hard to gauge Adelaide at the moment. Like, their list, pretty fucking good. They're just coming off a grand final appearance, obviously. Yeah, so
they just play poorly.
But it's just, it's weird.
They've had bad luck with injuries as well, but they play poorly. I think some of it might have been, you know, last year they were skating through half the year, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because their systems were so good. Everyone was firing. And they can't skate this year. People have figured them out a little bit. You know, they've lost some of their drivers as well. You know, Rory Sloane hasn't played a full year.
Yeah.
Crouch hasn't played a full year. And obviously their forward line's been decimated as well with Tex and Eddie not playing full years. So I think they've gone back to the, all right, let's see who else we've got in the shed. A few of them will come up a little bit short.
Yeah.
On Crouch, though, 32 touches with 8 tackles. Jeez, he's fucking flying.
Yeah, like I said, he's a Scotty Thompson remake.
Yep.
I think he might end up being better.
Yeah, well, he's got a long way to go. Scotty Thompson played 350 odd or something like that. So.
It's true. He's only younger, lad.
I thought young Boccacini had probably his best game in Crows colours. Sadly, he got reported for it, and I haven't seen the incident, and I don't think it must have been behind play or something like that. But
don't see that one either.
He was a rock down back. Really used the ball well. It's good to see for the little red nut.
Yeah. They've had a few that have been firing. I mean, Greenwood's been one of their more consistent
The last players. Month he has, yeah. He pops up for goals whenever
did
he...
Something happened to Seedsman?
Yeah, laid out.
What happened? Laid out.
Yeah.
Well, he played.
So he's got 3 possessions, though.
Yeah, kicked a goal.
Yeah, laid out 5 minutes after the game started.
All right, cool. He was
out. That's how late it was.
Very laid out.
Yeah. But it was an exciting finish, and really Crowe shot himself in the foot. I mean, how often does Eddie Betts miss from the goal square? And
exactly.
I mean, I know it was wet, but...
So that's his problem. He should have been on the fucking boundary.
That's it.
He should be on the angle.
Boundary would have nailed it without a doubt.
Yeah. But 10-17, like, even in bad conditions, that's poor football.
It was only bad conditions in the last quarter.
Yeah, that's poor football. Yeah. And poor kicking is poor football.
Yep. There's seldom that I feel sorry for a team losing when they've kicked, you know, half as many goals as points.
Yep.
I like to see it, actually. On to Sunday, North Melbourne and the Eagles. When you heard no Kennedy, no Shuey, you would have thought, well,
oh, mate, it
makes me feel a lot fucking better.
I thought this was a roughie. As soon as they said Kennedy pulled up sore, I'm like, well, you know, that's it. And then Shuey's out. Nah, we're home. We are done.
Down there especially.
Yeah, but Shuey gives them such drive. But I think the stats ended up telling the tale. North just absolutely destroyed them in the contested possessions.
Yeah, they're harder at the ball. I reckon Eagles are just too fucking cold. I'm like, fuck this. Can we just get that done with? Oh, enough. Majak was playing a great game as well. Took God knows how many intercept marks down back. It was to the point that Eagles really had to kick where he wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, he didn't have a lot of direct impact, but he destroyed their A game.
Yep.
Like, by taking that long along the boundary out. And look, let's be fair, he's not the most footy smart bloke running around the joint, but when you say, all right, stay 50 metres off the kicker and take a mark, Madge.
Yeah.
He can remember that bit.
So when it's, you don't worry about another player, just worry about the ball, you're doing all right.
Yeah.
Doing all right.
Because that change of rhythm for West Coast killed them. They could not stick with their A game, and then their B game was to run through the middle.
Oh, they didn't want to either, you know?
Yeah, and it did not work.
Even in the first quarter, I felt it was still close, but Eagles were, you know, getting their, not a lucky goal, but an opportunistic goal out the back where North were dominating possession.
Yeah.
What seemed to happen to me was that North are playing a 4-man forward line with the idea of opening it up and letting Ben Brown run at the ball. And West Coast are just gone, fuck it, we'll just have our 6 back there and fill up the gap, which is fine. But when they're kicking the ball back, it's like, well, I've got no one to kick to. And they just turned it straight over. So North had 1-4, but they were killing the inside 50s, like more than double in that, well, in the whole game, but especially in the first half. A smarter coach would have said, this isn't fucking working. Maybe we either man them up or we try and run the ball out. But it just didn't work.
I did feel like they gave up a little bit early. It was like they accepted their fate. West Coast, far too early. But, you know, that's just from me watching.
Yeah, but you lads at the start of the season, all this Ahern who? Yeah, that motherfucker, he fucking tore it up.
Yeah, Mr. Yeah. Ahern.
We're still Ahern who, believe me.
37 touches. He's done pretty fucking well there.
Yeah, yep, great. On to Brenton's favourite game of the round, the Bulldogs and Port Adelaide at Ballarat.
Yeah, what a treat for Ballarat that was, wasn't it?
I'll tell you what, lucky there's not much else going on in Ballarat. That's like, all I can say.
Yeah, this looked like a Ballarat game.
Yeah.
Like their ace.
It did for a while.
It was a shit house.
Port showing why they're going to be top of the table.
I mean, this was a close game for most of it, not because there was hard-fought footy, because it was just luck-footed football. Like, you just get on the boot, smash it, try and get some sort of forward momentum. Port just managed to do it better. They managed to lock the ball in, especially around the Senau forward line.
Charlie Dixon.
Yeah.
Dixon's really the difference there. He provided a bit of a target. That was country footy.
Yeah.
It was mongrel punts. Let's hack it forward, see what happens.
Yeah. Jackson Trengrove did do pretty good for the Bulldogs as well.
Kicked a nice goal.
Yeah.
Long range.
Made himself known around the ground, which was good for him.
Yeah.
Country footy, huh? No try, plenty of cunt.
Yeah. Exactly. And finally, over in the West, Frio and Hawthorn by 10 goals. I'll be realistically, it should have been 100 points. There was some dropped marks in the forward line that were just uncontested. It's not. I think Hawthorn have won the last 2 weeks by a lot, and they've been training runs that have developed bad habits.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the state of the media, I saw a couple of articles that, you know, Hawthorn in the race for a top four again. No, they won't.
Yeah.
You're looking at the score line and not at the game.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good game. There was a couple of players that were really, really good, and that's about it.
Oh, it was good enough. Like, it's one of those ones where if you can pace yourself and come out with no injuries, you know, that's a win.
That's about right. But, I mean, in the first 10 minutes of this game, there were 8 goals kicked, which is very un-Frio-like for starters, but it was absolute cracking pace early on. In the first 3 minutes, Tom Mitchell had 2 clearances, 3 kicks, 2 inside 50s for 2 goals. 2 goals for the Hawks, mind you, not for himself, although he did kick 2 on the day. I think, what did he have, 42 touches, 2 goals? Not bad. Jager Amira's emerging again, and Luke Bruce kicks another lazy 4, but he should have kicked 6.
Should have, and he's got to try and chase down Tomahawk now. Is Tommy ahead?
No, Tommy's ahead of him, and Benny Brown's ahead again. I think Bruce has got 44 or 45 goals.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Brown's got 5 on Hawkins, and I think Hawkins got another couple.
Yeah, and they got the Tigers next week. So
there you go. He's got exactly 5 on Hawkins and 8 on Luke Bruce. So there you go, with 4 rounds to go.
Yep. With rounds to go next week.
Not decided.
Yeah, it's over.
Well, like I said, I just want to see Luke Bruce get 50 goals, 100 tackles. So he only got 4 tackles in this game, so he needs to pick up in that area.
So you should just water boy it, handball the ball off, and then tackle.
And tackle him, I'd back him for it too. All right, that's the end of round 19. Let's look forward to next weekend.
Round 20.
Round 20. This is where it gets serious. I tell you what, I can't wait for the weather to turn a little bit better too.
Yep.
Well, by now, we're riding off a bunch of teams, yeah?
Yeah, I think everyone, let me pull up the ladder. Wherever Adelaide are, from them down, that's right.
I think they're 4th.
12th.
Two games out.
So I'm saying Essendon and the North are still in it.
Yeah. Anyone that's a game out of the 8, I think, is in it.
Yeah.
2 games is too much.
2 games and percentage.
So is that Adelaide, Dockers, who else?
Bulldogs, Saints, Brisbane, Gold Coast, Carlton. So 12th down, forget about it, 11th up. So there are 3 teams outside the 8, Swans, North and Essendon, have all got a chance to make it into the 8.
Well, the interest of keeping those other lads interested, which is 7 teams that are already written off, I thought we'd go through some of the uncontracted players or free agents.
All right, let's start with Jared Pollock.
Well, he's not going anywhere, let's be fucking honest. He's gone from Brisbane to Adelaide.
Hang on, not going anywhere. North Melbourne have offered him, reportedly, $700,000 a year. And Port Adelaide have gone, the fuck what? Adelaide have told him, mate, we can't get near that.
Yeah.
So he's got a decision to make.
That's an easy decision, to be honest.
I'd be pretty surprised if that was legit, to be honest. because it's one of those ones where you're like,
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
What's surprising about it?
Yep.
North Melbourne offering overs for a player? Where's the surprise?
Well, the quality of the player, still no surprise.
We even offered overs for a shit player.
By all accounts, it's a $250,000 decision for him.
Wow.
And he's very happy in Adelaide. He loves it. He's where he was born and that. But tell you what, that's a tough call. It's a tough call. And I like that North Melbourne made the offer. Don't get me wrong. Yep. I like all the offers they've made the last couple of years. They're not ones to die wondering.
Well, I think he's the least attractive player of the offers they've made.
Yeah. Well, it's the first under a million offer, which is almost an insult if you're Pollock.
But if the other offers come off, then they can't afford him.
Yeah. Yep.
Be a nice problem to have, to be honest.
But if we look at who is on the potential, Fasolo, he's not going anywhere. Fuck that.
He won't get an offer either. No. I don't think he's played a game this year.
Darcy Moore's out of contract. Now, he's the most interesting one to me because Collingwood have been looking to lock down so many players, and Darcy Moore's an exciting player.
He was linked to Sydney for a lot of the year.
Yeah.
But I think his manager came out and said he wants to stay.
Yeah.
Which really puts the ice on it a little bit. And I saw, you know, some people online saying, oh, well, that's just a manager trying to drum up his price. I'm like, no, that's not how you drum up a price.
No, it works. No,
that's quite the opposite.
You say North Melbourne are very interested.
Exactly.
Which I've had talks. I was surprised at, because I thought he looked like the kind of player that could do with a new scenery.
Yeah.
But since he's come back and the last 3 weeks down back line, he's looked damn solid.
Well, he's had big assignments down back too, and he's proved that he's definitely got that potential there. So you can lock him down into a contract and be pretty confident that it's going to get better and better.
You're right. He's had big assignments because they've run out of other people.
Yeah.
And even last week against Richmond, he held up his.
Yeah, and Howell was out, and he still sort of managed to hold down the fort and really put them in a game that they probably had no business being in.
So I'm saying he's going to stay, and I wouldn't have said that at the start of the year.
Well, yeah. I don't think there's a better offer for him around there, unless there's something going on behind the scenes that makes it worth his while to leave.
Yeah.
But I don't see it happening. But in terms of free agents, Gold Coast Suns are the major name running around.
Wow, Lynch is gone, isn't he?
Has to be. Like, considering he got injured, isn't playing, and isn't doing his rehab up in Gold Coast.
And that at least two clubs have openly admitted to meeting with him.
Yeah, he definitely put out in one of those dates for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you saying Collingwood or Richmond, you reckon?
I reckon Collingwood, but I reckon it goes Collingwood, Richmond, Hawthorn. I reckon that's the order.
Yeah. Well, I think Collingwood would be so desperate for him because he takes Mark's 6 goals. Granted, Cox does that too, but if you've got options up forward, you're a better side.
He makes any forward line better.
Yeah.
And any of those three teams would be a better team with him. I think that Tom Lynch in the goal square for Collingwood next year makes them a premiership threat.
Mm-hmm. Other one up there, Aaron Hall. Has been linked. He's 27.
Yeah, he's older than you thought.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He'd be a handy pickup at the right price.
His best games are a long way from his worst games, though. His best games, you know, he can get 35 touches and kick 6 goals, and I think he's done that more than once. So there's a lot of upside there, but are his downsides a result of playing in a shit team? You don't know.
Honestly think they might be. It's hard to judge based on the team around him because he has to play a whole different goal. It's hard, doesn't mean we're not going to.
Put it this way, North have offered reportedly 700 for Pollack. If they offered 700 for Hall, what would you think?
At his age? It depends on how many years. It was 700 for 2 years?
It's only 27.
Yeah, but
you're going to get three or four good ones out of it.
I think our average age is 24 or something, 25. Yeah. I'm not convinced that he is...
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A franchise player. Like he's a...
Well, clearly not.
He's a depth player, more to
me. Yeah, of course he is.
So in that instance, I wouldn't go all hog for him, but if they said, oh, we picked him up for $300,000 a year, I'd be like, fuck, that's great.
Yeah, I think anybody would fucking take that.
I'm not looking for a Ferrari, but if they gave me one for like, you know, $250 a month, no interest, I'm one.
I might think about it, yeah.
Stephen May has been linked to a few clubs, but he's contracted till the end of next year, and
so not a free agent.
Yeah, but he's—I can't see him going anywhere even next year.
Yep.
Other than that, we've got where are we? Hawks got no free agents. That's an odd sort of thing to happen.
We've got a few people that are coming out of contract though.
Yeah,
that they just haven't qualified for free agency. There was actually a very good story in one of the papers on the weekend with John O'Rourke, who was speaking very frank because he got a one-year deal this year. And he said, you know, I thought my career was over because I'd never had a chance, you know. He had calf and hamstring injuries, and I think he's only played 14-15 games or something like that after being a number two pick. But it was really frank, you know, and I still don't know if he'll get a contract next year, but there's a few hangers-on that have had, you know, you've almost got a, you know, that I think there might be a bit of a clearing out.
The big one, though, was Tigers, because obviously it's hard with the premiership side that you want to keep attracting good talent.
Yeah.
But then you're going to let go some talent too, because obviously you were the best side in the league.
Yeah.
Shai Bolton, Jaden Short and Jacob Townsend are all out of contract.
Pass, take.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Jaden Short last weekend shows that he's got a trick.
Yeah. The good thing about being in such a strong period for the Tigers, and, you know, let's face it, clear favourites for the flag this year.
They'll accept unders.
They will take big unders.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to throw big money, Townsend is worth it. Short's worth even more.
Yeah.
Because I think he's only 16 years old or something.
He looks like mum and dad's permission to get a tattoo, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But the problem is, though, you don't want to take unders and then be the 23rd player on grand final day.
No.
You can win a VFL premiership all you like. It ain't what you're for.
I tell you what, if he's not injured, though, he's not the 23rd player.
No, that's fair enough.
Yep.
Not at any side.
Lloyd last year, wasn't it? Played an absolute blinder in the VFL.
Yeah. Yeah. So did Miles. Almost kicked the winning goal. Yeah. Well, didn't almost kick it, but had a shot at it.
Had a shot.
That's right. I think Shai Bolton could see a move. Apparently, he wants to go west.
He's still a bit skinny on the frame there. He can't fit into the team.
Yeah, if Daniel Rioli wasn't there, he might have a chance.
Yeah.
I know he's played a couple of games this year, but...
He's definitely got talent there. And he's
got good talent.
Player, smart player. He's
wrong
a little bit skinny. Yeah, it's not too much competition for that sort of spot.
But yeah, the word is that if Richmond do manage to attract Lynch, Townsend is surplus to requirements.
Yeah, I mean, he does play down back a little bit more, Townsend, but I think that back six at Richmond is pretty damn strong. But Townsend's got talent.
Yeah, he's definitely a good pinch hitter.
Look, if Richmond didn't have room for him and they put him on the market, there'd be a lot of bites.
Yeah. But it could be that they put him on the market, get something that can then get them Lynch. In which case, you'd say net profit.
It could even be draft picks or something like that to get him over the line.
Yeah, and then St Kilda have Sam Gilbert.
That'll be a pass.
Yep.
Who would you take from the, besides Gresham, anyone in the Saints that you'd take?
At the right price. Membry?
Of course. Weller. I'd take. Stephen. The captain, of course.
Yeah.
There's plenty there.
Yeah, Mr. Jack.
yeah, I'd take Jack.
But Sydney have Jake Lloyd, McVeigh, and Nick Newman.
McVeigh would take a free agent if it came with a coaching job.
Yeah, and I think...
That's what I think.
I think we've said this before, Carlton should be offering him money just to get him as an on-field coach.
Yeah.
Doesn't it say that he's got 1 year coach contract, any Sydney contract? Was it him they were talking about?
There's been whispers that you can't actually have that in a contract.
Right.
But there are... Words that it could be, you know, like a handshake deal.
Yeah.
Nick Newman, you're not going to get any offers for, but Jake Lloyd, Sydney will sign him up because he's had a really good month with them recently, and especially when they've been on the slide a little bit, he's got a lot of upside.
Yeah, well, apparently he's knocked back two contract offers from Sydney. So they're obviously pretty keen. They're pretty keen on him, but he's obviously chasing some cash, or maybe he really, really wants to go somewhere else.
Oh, half his luck.
Gold Coast Suns are trying to throw big cash at him.
He's not that desperate.
But it's one of those ones where it's like, all right, I can go up there for three seasons and pull in $1.5 million. Maybe.
And obviously Stewie Jew has spent a lot of time at the Swans, so he might have a relationship with him too. You don't know.
Maybe owes him money or something. Scott Lysett, I think, with Nick Nat's injuries so consecutively, you have to think he's really, I don't want to say it, but he's almost one more knee reco away from not coming back.
Knee reconstruction.
Yeah. You mean Nick Nat there?
Yeah, Nick Nat. Yeah. So Lysett becomes a required player.
Well, Nick Nat's not playing next year. So he is the number one ruckman for West Coast. He might have been a little bit on the outer, but when Nick Nat went down, they just went, shit, we need him. And I know there's offers coming for him. Might have been Port have looked at him, and another team that I can't quite remember that the Whispers were. I think that, you know, the other big free agent out there is Andrew Gaff, of course.
Yeah, well, not anymore. He's gone.
He signed on, did he?
With North, yeah, for $5. we're reporting that officially, so Jai Beadnall, you can report that. Sam McClure too. Go nuts.
Okay, yeah. So West Coast, obviously, there's going to be a lot bigger money for Gaff than there is for Lysett, but Lysett is more crucial to them for their immediate future.
Yeah, he's a missing piece of a best 22 football team.
Yeah,
I mean that's it. They'll pay Lysett not what he's worth in the open market, but what he's worth to keep.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's Port Adelaide throwing cash at Lysett too, just to fuck up with West Coast.
Yeah.
But that's part of the game. And the Bulldogs have a few more as well with Dalhouse, Libertore, Roughhead, and Wallace.
If I was in the list department at Hawthorn, I'd be giving Mitch Wallace a bit of a phone call.
Yeah. I mean, Dalhouse is worth a shake that tree, see what you can get him.
Well, all of them said they love the team, which as a
premiership player,
only the second time in club history.
Hang on. Mitch Wallace might not be. I'm not sure if he's a premiership player. He might have missed out through injury. I could be wrong there, but anyway.
But either way, they all love the club.
Exactly.
I can't see Jared Roughhead going anywhere.
No, especially since he's captain of Hawthorn. Jordan Roughhead, though, I could see him, leaving in. I believe he wants to stay, but I can see Bulldogs cutting him loose.
Well, he spent most of the season in the VFL.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think he does play more as depth.
Yeah, when you're, I'm going to say 27?
Is he getting on?
27, 28. And you're playing most of your year in VFL, only getting in when injuries are getting bad. The club's sending you a message, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm. They want to upgrade, but they still want to keep him on the hook just in case they get injuries.
I could see him getting picked up as a delisted free agent.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I reckon, without a doubt, he'll be on the trade table. If they get a good offer for him, they'll jump at it.
I think if they've managed to prize Libertore out of there, I still think he'd turn up the Bulldogs just out of habit.
Yeah, he could.
with a habit.
Yeah,
too. If Lib is on the table, there's going to be a lot of people talking about culture and all that kind of stuff because he's just a weird unit.
Yep.
All right, is that the end of your free agency list?
Yep, I think we've teed up a few. Gaff's definitely going to North. I think we've established that now.
Yeah. All right, on to round 20. Friday night blockbuster of the MCG, Tigers and the Cats. I reckon, like we said, Tigers are clear favourites for the flag this year. There's not many teams I'd say have a chance against them at the MCG. Geelong might be one, but I'm still tipping Richmond, obviously, but Geelong just might be one.
They've always got a shake, I think.
I think solely for the reason that they've got midfielders that can handle a close tackle and a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Mm. The best achieving midfield, you'd have to say.
And now Rance v. Tomahawk looks like an absolute marquee matchup.
Yeah, I think it might end up being Rance and Asprey versus Tomahawk. Yeah. Well, dropping me down in the middle there. And Grimes have always got that freedom to run forward now.
So when Tomahawk goes up the ground, who's playing on him? If he's hovering around the centre, which he's been doing a little bit of lately, do you think Rance goes all the way with him? Rance hangs back?
I think he stays back and plays the intercept.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because Tomahawk, while he's a great mark and a long kick, he's not a great runner.
No, he obviously is really strong one-on-one too. So yeah. If he's sitting in the goal square with Rance, and just kick it to him, guys.
Yeah.
We want to see what happens.
And I think like if Tom Hawkins is moving down the field, it's almost a win for the Tigers because they'd prefer him not to be in the goal square, yeah, kicking on his head.
What happens though if they move Selwood forward and Rance picks him up? Like the ball's there and they both jump on the ground.
Synchronised diving.
What happens?
Yeah. So we got a tips, Richmond?
Tigers.
I want to see a good game, and I think it will be till half time, and I think Richmond will just blast them away.
Yeah, best fourth quarter side we've ever seen. Hawthorn and Essendon at the MCG on Saturday afternoon.
Well, I'd have to say whoever loses this, I think is going to struggle to finish in that, particularly if it's Essendon. I think Hawthorn, yeah, mathematically possible with their run home especially, but Essendon lose this and they're done. So they are going to come out 100% desperate.
I think the Hawks might get over the line here. I think they've got a way of just getting it done when they need to. I think they can play a bit more mature game.
Yeah, I think so though. The Hawks have not played well the last 3 weeks. They've won two out of three and they lost to Brisbane, but they haven't played well. But Burgoyne's back and that always makes you feel more comfortable.
Yep. Yeah, and you've got O'Meara always doing what he does. And
He's having his career best year. Yep. Tom Mitchell's ridiculous. The Lions and North up at the Gabba.
That's a tricky one because the Lions, while they're not going to make finals, like not even mathematically possible, they're still showing some good fight.
They got run.
Yeah.
But I think this is the one where if Lions start strong, North are going to struggle to hold them back. But if North can sort of get a quick three goals on the board from the opening bounce, I think the Lions will sort of be like, all right, you know, no one wants to get injured and miss Mad Monday.
Yeah. Benny Brown needs a day out, I think. He's been wanting one for a while, and this might be the one.
I don't think it'll happen against the Lions solely because the lower tier teams tend to play him with a loose man in front, and it's easy to negate Ben Brown.
But not Brisbane though, because they've been attacking.
Yeah,
and that's why they like to play attacking footy and try and put a score on the board. And that's the only reason I say Benny Brown's got a chance. Because you're right, they do try and go, oh my God, you know, here's the man leading the Coleman. Let's flood the back line, you know. But not Brisbane.
Well, yeah, I think North got over the line here.
I think North will win just because if they lose, then they're out of the finals race. And this is one they would have penciled in as a win. And they need to get it done. Particularly, you know, coming off, even though last week against West Coast was a decent match with a bit of hunger, the week before it was fucking pitiful. So they're still smarting from that. And I dare say Scott's probably still got a few blasts left in him.
Out of all those sides we mentioned battling for the final spots in the eights, North have got the best run home. So it starts here. Really for them.
Well, if they don't get it done here, they're not getting it done.
Yeah. The showdown, Crows and Port. Never one to write off in these games, but if Port put a big win on, Crows are absolutely finished for the year. I've already written them off anyway.
Yeah.
But they can make it a mathematical certainty, Port with a win.
This is always going to be a good match every time they play. I think Port might just get over the line here. I think that might just be because I want them to.
You know what? Anything else. I reckon Crows in for an upset.
Yeah,
Port, they're fourth on the ladder, but haven't been playing well.
Yeah,
and I think Crows would be, you know, this is our last stakes. They're going to throw everything at it.
Yeah.
Well, Port get a big win. They could be sitting second, which will set them up nicely for their tilt at the minor premiership. So I'm on Port.
Best of luck with that.
Hey, well, mate, you joke. Who'd you pick?
Richmond.
No, you try again.
Yeah. I know it wasn't Richmond. It was Sydney or Geelong, I can't remember.
Adelaide you had.
Oh, did I?
So you're well fucking off.
Yeah.
Brenton had Geelong.
That's going to miss out. Saints versus Bulldogs. That's going to be a barn burner, that one.
Yep. This could have almost been a better game in the wet.
Damn. I think the Saints, though.
But you see, is this one of the games that could have been better if they had have trialled the rule changes, like multi-ball?
Yep, multi-ball. I'm all for it.
That's the spirit, yeah. Yep. Just like with an air raid siren all of a sudden.
Or they could hold the boundary line sprint during the match with the players. I mean, it could, like the halftime sprint with actual players. I think that could be great. And coaches.
Yeah, I don't see either of his teams trying too much, though.
No.
Not really in
just
the...
Just get through the game.
Yeah.
Which is why I think the Saints.
I think the Saints got to go across the line.
Oh, fuck. I'm going on the Bulldogs just because I think a few players want to up their ante for contracts.
Swans and Collingwood at the SCG. Swans have played shocking the last couple of weeks and everyone's written them off for pitiful reasons. But goddamn Collingwood, they can't have any more injuries, surely.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Swans are at home.
They've lost so many games.
Which struggles for them.
I think they've only lost one game away this year.
Yeah.
All their other losses are at home.
Yep. This is It seems like two teams have got every right to lose this game.
Yeah.
And so I think, Sydney. I'm going with Sydney. I think they have more cattle on the park to get this job done.
It's tough. The only reason I think Collingwood are in it is because of Grundy.
Grundy. Although Sinclair has had a good year.
He has, but Grundy's been spectacular.
I tell you what, Alier on Mason Cox. It's going to be good. Yeah. Alier's been great the last couple of weeks, playing pretty much the same role as Badjack, being that intercept mark across the half back.
Yeah.
But when you've got a bloke who's 6'11", putting his mitts up, that's tough. That's tough to stop. How on Buddy would be a good one as well.
Yeah, it's how being cleared is coming back.
Looks like it. Yeah, he'll do a fitness test on Thursday.
Yeah.
But he's up and about and he is okay. So I think Collingwood. But if not, this is, again, Collingwood could go all the way down to 7th or 8th, I think, with a loss here. But no, I'm picking Collingwood.
Yeah, I'm on Collingwood too. I think it'll be close, but I just think they'll find a way to get it done.
Be a good game. I think it'll be a good game. Carlton GWS at Etihad, that'll be GWS. We don't need to bother.
Yep.
Melbourne Gold Coast at the MCG, that'll be Melbourne. And the Western Derby, Eagles versus Freo, that'll be Eagles.
That'll be Eagles.
That's a pretty boring Sunday, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. Unless you're one of those teams fans, then you could see a nice little bloodbath, a bit of pep in your step.
Well, I mean, Carlton don't expect to win, and there's no GWS fans. Melbourne fans, enjoy that. And West Coast.
Sunday is your day.
That'll do us. Oh, I think this might be the first Ross Glendinning, Ben Allen medal.
Right, they've come
to an agreement.
To a treaty. Right. That's right. Yeah. Fife and Sandilands are both still a couple of weeks away. They'll come back for the final round. Why even bother?
Yeah. Oh, they'll come back for their finals run. Well, I don't know why they're going to play round 23. What a waste of time. All right, that'll do us for this round.
Yeah, good luck.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.